Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Spiritual Awakening Radio. Today's program is all about the vegetarian diet of Jesus, early Christianity, the Essenes, Gnostics, Manichaeans, Pythagoreans, Therapeutae, and others in antiquity. My name is James Bean. SpiritualAwakeningRadio.com is my website. Each week this program streams live and becomes a podcast, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, world scriptures, and other books, East and West, about God, meditation, out-of-body experiences, the vegan diet, and other ahimsa ethics of nonviolence, education for a more peaceful planet. There is only one time when it is essential to awaken. That time is now. My mission statement, there's not just one religion, there are thousands. After years of being concerned that too few voices, too few points of view were getting heard when it comes to spiritual paths and world religions, that the radio airwaves were not reflecting the diversity that really exists, I started producing my own programs, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, meditation, mysticism, Gnosticism, and books, bringing to the airwaves the gentle voices of saints, the wisdom of masters or mystics, world scriptures, sacred texts, the great spiritual traditions and classics of the East and the West. Welcome to Spiritual Awakening Radio. This week, exploring the vegetarianism of Jesus, early Christianity, the Essenes, Gnostics, and others. Vegetarianism in Hellenistic times. Most probably don't know that Pythagoras was a vegetarian. Not only a mathematician, but a mystic, a spiritual sage or teacher, and vegetarian. Pythagoras once said, "Our earth has abundance of such pure and harmless foods, and there is no need for us to partake of meals for which blood has to be shed and innocent life sacrificed." The history of vegetarianism has its roots in the civilizations that evolved in ancient India and ancient Greece. The earliest reliable evidence for vegetarian belief and practice in Greece dates from the 6th century BC, a spiritual movement called Orphism. The Orphics, a religious movement spreading in Greece at the time, as well as the teachings of Pythagoras and the followers of Pythagoras, a group known as the Pythagoreans. The followers of Pythagoras, or Pythagoreans, were vegetarians. For the general public, abstaining from meat was a hallmark of the Pythagorean way of life. In fact, for most of the last 2,000 years, those who have followed a vegetarian diet in the Western world have been called Pythagoreans. Before the word vegetarian got invented and was used as a popular term, before that happened, before the word vegan got invented, before that term got coined a few decades ago. All of this time in the Western world, for the most part, those who followed a vegetarian diet have been called Pythagoreans. Such was the influence of Pythagoras in the original Pythagoreans of antiquity. Such was their influence and ownership of the idea of being a vegetarian in the Western world. Some of the teachings of Pythagoras can be found in a book called The Pythagorean Source Book and Library, originally published by Fenaise Press. That's a great source book for the vegetarian teachings of Pythagoras, who in that book is described as a kind of spiritual sage. I mean, we know about Pythagoras for his mathematics, but he was also a mystic, a saint and a sage, a spiritual master who taught about the music of the spheres, or heavenly sound, associated with heavenly realms. But he was also a vegetarian and a mathematician, and he apparently wore white. I mean, he really looked like a guru, you might say. And in fact, if you read his teachings, it seems like, you know, a real possibility that he was a follower of an Eastern master. Pythagoras was not only vegetarian, but believed in reincarnation and had some sort of personal insight into his own past lives. You know, it's like somebody from India moving to the West, only apparently there's no written information documenting any kind of contact between Pythagoras and some Hindu teacher, but it seems like that must have been the case, or it seems, based on Pythagoras' teachings, like there might have been some sort of encounter like that. However he came to be, Pythagoras was a great sage, an early master of the Western world, and someone who very strongly advocated following a vegetarian diet. His group, the Pythagoreans, were extremely influential on Greek thought, Platonism, Judaism, Christianity, Sufism, and even all the way to India in the Sant tradition. Platonism and Pythagoreanism are really very much part of the foundation of the schools of spirituality, the schools of mysticism on planet Earth. Kabbalah, Gnosticism, Sant Mat, Sufism, and others clearly are greatly influenced by the great master Pythagoras and the Pythagoreans. During the first century AD, the Essenes became one of the three main branches of Judaism. They were opposed to animal sacrifice being made in the Jewish temple, and they were known to be vegetarians. The Essenes were the group that Jesus and the first Christians, known as the Ebionites, were closest to, sharing with them many of the same ethics, values, and sacred texts, like the Book of First Enoch, for instance. Unlike the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the Essenes are never criticized in the New Testament. I see early Christianity as being the grandchildren of the Essenes. There is some kind of connection between Essenism and early Messianic Christianity. The Essene movement within Judaism adhered to a vegetarian diet. That's the context within Judaism 2,000 years ago. The Essenes of Dead Sea Scrolls fame, the John the Baptist group, the Mandaean Gnostics, also known as the Nazarenes or Nazarea or Nazareans, and the Jesus movement had much in common and are somehow related to each other. For instance, followers of the original Jesus movement are sometimes called Ebionites, meaning the poor, a term from the Hebrew meaning the poor. And the term Ebionite appears in the Dead Sea Scrolls as well. Scholars continue to debate the exact nature of the connection, the association between all of these groups. In any case, they shared many of the same scriptures and values. They were greatly influenced, for instance, by the book of First Enoch, which was a very popular book found at Qumran, the great Essene Jewish library. And I believe that essentially it's like this. Within Judaism developed the Essene movement, which had a lot of ideas that seemed kind of proto-Gnostic and proto-Christian, wine and communion, unleavened bread, and baptism by immersion in water, things that we associate with Christianity, the creation of intentional communities or monasteries. That's also an invention of theirs, unless they, of course, got it from the Greeks, which they might have, for all we know. But in any case, before there was the Christian monastery, or spiritual community, there was Essene communities that were monastic earlier. A lot of proto-Gnostic and proto-Christian ideas are seen developing in the Gnostic world and the world of the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's a kind of segue between the end of the Old Testament scriptures before you get to Matthew and the New Testament scriptures. In between you have this development, this intertestamental literature, including many Dead Sea Scrolls and other apocryphal writings. So it's not a drastic shift from Old Testament to New, but more of a segue, a nice smooth segue, actually, between Malachi and Matthew, if you are mindful of the Essene writings and other apocryphal texts. I believe that the Essenes branched out in several directions, and one of the groups that branched out from Essenism is this group called the Nazareans or Ebionites. John the Baptist either was the founder of that group or represented one faction of it, and one of the disciples or followers of John the Baptist was Yeshua or Jesus, and he eventually became a kind of spiritual successor of John the Baptist after his death. And a faction or fraction of the John the Baptist movement followed Christ, and then you get the beginning of the Jesus movement. But not everyone followed Christ who was part of the John the Baptist group. Indeed, the Mandaean Gnostics represent another branch of the John the Baptist movement that never did sign up to early Christianity, but remained a distinct and separate Nazarene sect, speaking their own dialect of the Aramaic language right to this very day. They're still around. They're still with us in the Middle East, and some Mandaeans that have been living in Iraq have been moving to the United States and Canada and Australia and other Western countries to get away from the chaos of Iraq of recent decades. So not everyone signed up to the Jesus movement from the John the Baptist group, but I do see these groups all as related to one another. Essenism, the John the Baptist group, the Nazareans or Nazarean movement, and then you get the Ebionites or the Jesus movement, and things branch off from there. Every group branches off from another group. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning. New beginnings end, you know. Something fades and something else takes its place. Crisis and renewal. Death and rebirth. A tree with many branches branching out. Old branches fall, wither and die, fall off the tree, but there are new branches as well. And on it goes throughout all of the history of religion and spirituality and mysticism. So you have Essenes, Nazareans, Ebionites, John the Baptist group, early Christian movement. And vegetarianism was very much part of this original group. Now, it's quite liberating for people to discover this. People forward my blogs all day long, 7 days a week online. My articles on vegetarianism, which I can send you. Just listen for my number and email address later on, and I can send you links to my articles on the vegetarianism of early Christianity. People find these articles, this information, so liberating because it comes as a total shock that one does not need to rely on 19th century channeled fake writings from Yugoslavia or something like that. But instead, there are ancient texts. There are gospels. There are even copies, Aramaic copies of the New Testament gospels that one can discover the vegetarianism of early Christianity. You can closely read the letters of the Apostle Paul, who's arguing as early as 50 AD with vegetarian Christians and debating about how, you know, whether eating meat is okay or meat that's sacrificed to idols, whether or not that's okay, and he's arguing with others that are against that. As early as 50 AD, there are Ebionite or Hebrew gospels that can be found on the shelves of theological seminary libraries that anyone who is a serious scholar might be aware of. These texts have been with us this whole time, for most of the last 2,000 years, and on today's program, we shall together delve into some of these texts. People find this very surprising because most have inherited the typical Sunday school notion of loaves with fishes, with a John the Baptist who was sort of a caveman dude who ate bugs. And how eccentric is that, right? Eating locusts and all in the desert. And they inherit these ideas. It doesn't matter what you put into your mouth, only the words that come out of your mouth, and all of these things are used as lethal weapons against vegetarian Christians and followers of other religions advocating a nonviolent vegetarian way of life. And they're told, well, it doesn't matter, Jesus ate meat, and so therefore, please go away now. Please stop speaking, and it's all totally irrelevant. And so people have been under this oppressive meat-eating messiah machine for so long, and it is sort of a given, like carnism itself, the gospel of eating meat is sort of a given, a default position that you must take from birth. Eating meat is something that we all inherit. It's a value that's downloaded into our brain early in life, and no one, hardly anyone at least, questions it. And so it's such a shock for people to discover that there is this whole other very Jewish tradition of gospels, of texts, Aramaic texts, Gnostic texts, Hebrew texts, Dead Sea Scrolls, and whatnot, advocating for vegetarianism for this entire time of the last 2,000 years. What about the loaves and fishes and the bugs and that it doesn't matter what you put into your mouth? It all doesn't matter. Just the words that you speak, and people hear certain passages quoted that seem to be used to nullify dietary ethics. So they find it such a liberating breath of fresh air. It's like the fall of a kind of Berlin Wall of sorts. It's a kind of fall of the notion of the meat-eating Messiah with all its oppressive ideology of it all doesn't matter, so please stop thinking about this issue of vegetarianism in Christianity. People are so freed or so liberated to realize that there is solid evidence, there are ancient texts, there are traditions that go back to the very beginning You find evidence for it in the New Testament itself. You don't even need to rely upon extra-canonical scriptures. You can, like the Seventh-day Adventists, for instance, can find evidence for vegetarianism in the book of Genesis, the book of Daniel, the New Testament itself, and the book of Revelation, even without the help of the Gospel of Thomas, Dead Sea Scrolls, or Gospel of the Hebrews. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio. After the break, I want to delve into the references to vegetarianism, the vegetarianism of Jesus, both in the Aramaic New Testament and extra-canonical scriptures like the Gospel of the Hebrews, references to the vegetarianism of various disciples. It's quite amazing that we have actual references to what they ate some 2,000 years later, but we do, and it's all very documented. Chapter, verse, footnotes are available. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio. This week we are exploring the vegetarian diet of Jesus, early Christianity, the Essenes, the Therapeutae, Pythagoreans, and Gnostics. Stay tuned for more after these messages.
Constant Contact and your small business make a perfect fit for marketing. They give you what you need to succeed. Fast and easy email marketing at your fingertips. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Constant Contact to start your marketing.
This is Alec Baldwin. There are lots of ways to show you have style. Wearing fur isn't one of them. Each year, millions of animals are drowned or beaten to death in the wild, or gassed or electrocuted in captivity for their coats. Cruelty is one fashion statement we can do without. Please help the animals by joining People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
To find out how you can help, visit furisdead.com or call 757-622-PETA.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
So what's a great way to spread awareness that driving high is illegal everywhere? A catchy song, of course.
You can run, but you can't. Drive high. You can run, but you can't drive high.
Friendly reminder, don't drive high. If you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Roku is like having your own video library with over 300,000 choices. And it's the best way to get Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, and so much more. There's a Roku player for every budget, so go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Roku banner.
Dave, what are you doing?
Just sending a gift to Dave2037.
Who?
Me in the future. I save a little money from every paycheck for Dave2037 so he can buy anti-gravity boots or a hologram Doberman. What are you getting Steve2037?
Steve2037 will be just fine.
Well, okay, but don't expect to borrow my anti-gravity boots.
Save something for the future. Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's
feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
The vegetarianism of Jesus, early Christianity, the Essenes and Gnostics, this week on Spiritual Awakening Radio. When it comes to vegetarianism and Christianity, the first question people always ask is, in the scriptures, aren't there passages describing Jesus as serving fish as well as eating lamb during the Jewish holiday known as Passover? Some might also cite a verse about John the Baptist eating insects, locusts. This, of course, is based on a couple of quotes from the Orthodox New Testament that people are familiar with from their Sunday school days. For those not acquainted with the Judeo-Christian history and the various collections of writings or scriptures from that period that have survived, at first glance it appears as if Jesus ate fish and that John the Baptist dined on bugs. Certainly the well-known writings of European Christianity and those commenting on them, the leadership, the meat-eating leadership, portray it that way. But you know what? Not so fast. These Gospels represent writings used by a religious sect following the Apostle Paul's Western Roman version of Christianity, which was all about recruiting followers from around the Roman Empire once upon a time. Paul seems to have been advocating eating meat, but he himself supplies us with evidence in his own letters or epistles dating back to the early decades of the first century AD, some of the earliest material in the New Testament, that others in early Christianity disagreed with Paul about diet and many other issues. It turns out that Paul dropped the vegetarian requirement as part of his attempt to make new converts. If you read his New Testament epistle to the Galatians closely, however, you can notice that there was quite a bit of tension between Paul and the original Jesus movement, which was based in Jerusalem. Paul gives them left-handed compliments, calls them weak, of the circumcision, and even Judaizers. Given their solid credibility and affiliation with the historic Jesus, however, Paul couldn't denounce them. He can't call them false. In fact, he tries to get their blessing from time to time. But he does greatly marginalize them and disagrees with them about diet. And much of the New Testament is filled with his own words and gospels that are pro-Paul or were composed by branches of Christianity that were very pro-Paul. And there's a little tiny letter of James the Just near the back, and a little tiny epistle of Jude consisting of just a few words, and the book of Revelation and a couple letters of John tucked, you know, in the back, a tiny fraction of the New Testament. They don't get a lot of time. They don't get a lot of space in the New Testament, in other words. Those in the Jerusalem part of the Jesus movement, Jesus' own family, James and Thomas and Mary Magdalene, and the spiritual successors headed by the Apostle James, the brother of Jesus and the next leader of this Aramaic-speaking Jerusalem community, were vegetarians. They disagreed with Paul and Paul's group about diet. The program Aeon Bite Gnostic Radio invited me to be a guest a couple years back, and run by Miguel Connor, who is a personal friend of mine. And we had this interesting conversation at one point about the Apostle Paul. Basically, my take on Paul is that he was pro-meat. He said it was okay to eat meat that had been used in pagan temples, that had been sacrificed to idols, meat that had been used in ritual sacrifice. Paul said, that's okay. And seemed to be taking the pro-meat position. Certainly many of his followers did. But Miguel Connor made an interesting observation about Paul and the nature of his disagreement with the other disciples, the actual disciples of Jesus and Jesus' own family that were vegetarian. That the argument, instead of being pro-meat versus anti-meat, was more about how to run the organization, with the Jerusalem group saying that if you're becoming a convert, if you're becoming a newbie, if you're becoming a follower, you immediately give up meat. Whereas Paul, as this theory goes, proposed by Miguel Connor, was doing things differently in the Roman Empire, in the Roman world, that newbie converts didn't have to follow quite as strict a moral code, didn't have to give up meat just yet. But when they matured, if they applied for initiation into the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, becoming Gnostic Christians, following a kind of Christianity 2.0, that Christianity 2.0 has a stricter moral code, and then people would become vegetarian. And you know, that is a most intriguing theory. It's kind of interesting, because we do have many examples of that in antiquity, of mystery religions initiating people. The Manichaean Gnostics had a two-tiered approach, with newbie converts following a less strict moral code and not having to become vegetarian. But if they become part of the inner circle in the Manichaean faith, one does become a vegetarian. So, intriguing, isn't it? We might be able to sign up Paul as part of the vegetarian movement after all, possibly. It's an intriguing theory that can't be ruled out. And I suppose the greatest evidence for the likelihood of this theory that Paul was a vegetarian and was pro-vegetarian, but just had a different system than the Jerusalem group, kind of an outer circle approach with an inner circle of 2.0 Christians. I suppose proof of that would be the Valentinians, those part of the early Christian movement who did follow a Gnostic approach, a Christianity 2.0 Gnosticism, that beyond faith there is knowledge or gnosis. They were pro-Paul and claimed succession from Paul, and they were vegetarian. So I'm kind of intrigued by Miguel Connor's theory about Paul actually being vegetarian, but just having an outer circle of believers and an inner circle of Gnostic Christians, and organizing his group differently. So it's not a pro-veg versus anti-veg thing, but newbie converts versus more mature initiates of the faith kind of thing going on there. Food for thought. Vegetarian food for thought. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening Radio. More after these messages.
You know, when my grandson takes a long car trip, he listens to audiobooks. A long drive seems faster, and sometimes he doesn't want to get out of the car because the book isn't finished. With over 100,000 books, Audible.com is one of the best places to get audiobooks. You can listen to a bestseller anytime, anywhere. Audible.com, your destination for the widest selection of audiobooks. Join millions of listeners. Just go to the Audible.com on HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click.
There's a reason why ADT is America's leading home security company. Since 1874, they've helped protect over 5 million homes. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the ADT banner. It's more affordable than you think.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options, from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Water. In the hot summer sun, water is a natural thought, like relaxing at the beach with the waves lapping at your feet, or perhaps being with your significant other under a secluded, gently cascading waterfall. If you want a little more action, how about water skiing or boating on an icy, clear blue lake? With Expedia.com, everything you need for travel, flights, hotels, cruises, vacation packages, they have it all at a price you can afford. Go to HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Expedia.com.
I'm Carol King. The opportunity to study music is one of the most valuable things we can give our young people. Music is a positive outlet for creative expression. It reinforces teamwork, communication, self-discipline, and focus, all skills that will benefit them in every aspect of their lives. If your school has a music program, encourage your child to use it. If it doesn't, work with others in your community and do whatever it takes to get one. I know how much my music programs and music teachers meant to me when I was growing up. Leave your kids a note for the future. Support music programs and music teachers in your school and community.
A public service announcement brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and this station. Music, part of a sound education.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
The vegetarianism of Jesus, early Christianity, Essenes and Gnostics, this week on Spiritual Awakening Radio. During the first century AD, the Essenes were one of the three main branches of Judaism. Like the Pythagoreans, they were opposed to animal abuse or ritual sacrifice being made in the name of religion, in this case in the Jewish Temple of Jerusalem. And the Essenes were also known to be vegetarians. The Essenes were the group that Jesus and the first Christians, the Ebionites, were closest to. And they shared in common the same Pythagorean view. The Pythagoreans, founded by Pythagoras, in the pagan world, too, were very much opposed to the ritual slaughter of animals, any animal sacrifice in connection with pagan temple rituals. So the Essenes applied that same ethic to their own temple, the Temple of Jerusalem. In the New Testament, Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean." The following reading is from Luke chapter 21, verse 34, but using the Old Syriac Aramaic manuscript of the New Testament Gospels, copied by someone during the 2nd century AD from Greek into Syriac Aramaic, a very impressive manuscript of New Testament Gospels, which has a couple of vegetarian sayings of Jesus. In this Old Syriac edition of Luke, Jesus says, "Be on guard so that your hearts do not become heavy with the eating of flesh and with the intoxication of wine and with the anxiety of the world, and that day come upon you suddenly, for as a snare it will come upon all who dwell upon the surface of the earth." A very different version of Luke 21, verse 34, where a vegetarian Jesus makes his appearance, slipping through the cracks there in the Old Syriac manuscript of the New Testament Gospels. Like the Essenes, Jesus, his family, and the original followers were vegetarians and opposed to all sacrifice of animals in the Jewish temple. In the Gospel of the Hebrews, Jesus says, "I am come to do away with sacrifices. And if you cease not sacrificing, the wrath of God will not cease from you." Unquote. Stopping animal sacrifice in the temple. John chapter 2, I'm here using the same Syriac Aramaic New Testament. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get out of here." According to the Gospel of the Ebionites, Jesus also rejected the Passover ritual meal. He was asked to observe the Passover meal, which includes eating lamb, to which he replied, "I have no desire to eat the flesh of this paschal lamb with you," unquote. Some veg sayings of Jesus from both canonical and extra-canonical gospels. Jesus had a brother. He was referred to by scholars and historians as James the Just. According to a wide variety of sources, James became Jesus' spiritual successor, the next leader of this group, referred to as the Hebrew Christians or Ebionites. The well-known Dead Sea Scrolls scholar Robert Eisenman wrote a 1,000-page volume about him called James the Just, The Key to Unlocking the Secrets of Early Christianity and the Dead Sea Scrolls. The first words on the back cover of my edition of this book are, quote, "James was a vegetarian," unquote. Keith Akers makes some great observations in his article, "Was Jesus a Vegetarian?" Eusebius, the church historian, says James, the brother of Jesus, was a vegetarian, and in fact, evidently was raised as a vegetarian, according to the Ecclesiastical History, chapter 2, verse 23. So why, Keith Akers asks, why would Jesus' parents have raised James as a vegetarian unless they were vegetarians themselves and raised Jesus as a vegetarian too? On what planet do you find a family raising their kids to be vegetarian when the parents aren't vegetarian? In what universe, in what alternate reality, would parents raise one child to be veg, but the other one they fed meat to? Doesn't make sense, right? They were all vegetarian. They were all following the same Essene ethics of the time. They were all vegetarian. Jesus, James, and the parents. What about the loaves and fishes, people keep asking? I agree with Keith Akers in his article that in the story of the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the multitude, in the original version it only refers to bread being served to the crowd. Fish doesn't even turn up in the early 2nd century AD reference by Irenaeus, who lived in the early 2nd century AD. When he describes this miracle story of the feeding of the 5,000, he, even in the 2nd century, doesn't mention fishes, only bread. So I agree with Keith Akers that fish got added to the story at some point, probably during the 2nd century, some manuscript, making it into a fishy story. A fishy feeding of the multitude, the feeding of the 5,000. But in the earliest accounts, it's only the miracle of the feeding of the multitude with bread, no fish. So there was no Galilee Jesus Fish Company going on there. In any case, they gave up their former professions, but people still think they sold fish or something. And there's not even reference to fish in the earliest versions of this miracle story, the feeding of the multitude. Most intriguing. Stay tuned for more Spiritual Awakening Radio coming up after these messages.
See straight and save. These days, everyone seems to see things differently. But from your eyes, you can see straight and save. Right now, get glasses online at 70% off at Glasses USA. There's a 100% guarantee, too, on top brand men, women, multifocal, and even prescription sunglasses. Visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Glasses USA, and you will see straight and save.
Okay, so you see a product you like on your favorite TV show, and you're going to write the number down. But if you're like me, you run around trying to find that pen and piece of paper, which magically disappears every time you need them. Then when you get back to the TV, they're already on to something else. Well, now there's a solution. Seen on TV products have combined all the best TV offers online and in one place. It's one-stop shopping. Just visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on the Seen on TV products. Then, who cares if that pesky pen or paper does a disappearing act?
It's a fact. With Clarins, life is more beautiful, and so are you. If you love beauty, and let's face it, love is behind everything we do, then you'll love Clarins Beauty Products. I use Clarins, and people ask me all the time how I stay looking so young. I tell them it's love. But now you know my real secret. It's Clarins. They have a full line of highly effective beauty products containing the highest quality ingredients while respecting the environment. Who wouldn't love that? Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on Clarins and make your life more beautiful, starting with you.
Shh! Over here. Here's a secret for a virus-free computer. ESET. They've been a pioneer in the antivirus industry for over 25 years. 25 years of innovative, top-rated antivirus protection. ESET's award-winning security solutions provide a safe online experience for over 100 million home and business computer owners. They are so affordable, fast, and simple to use. So be gone, you blue screen of death! ESET's on my computer. If it's not on yours, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on ESET now.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening Radio. According to the Gospel of the Hebrews, John the Baptist did not eat locusts. John the Baptist was not a bug eater, but ate carob bread, a bean found in the Middle East. It's actually fairly well known in the Middle East. The carob tree is also known as the St. John's tree. So it's not really something that's secret or classified. It's just known to people who live in the Middle East, but apparently not so known to people who live in Rome or in Europe, that carob flour, carob beans, was the diet of John the Baptist. The first followers of Jesus, also known as Ebionites or Nazareans, were not only kosher, but also strictly adhered to a vegetarian diet. The largest surviving collection of Ebionite scriptures is called the Clementine Homilies, including the Recognitions of Clement. These are vegetarian gospels that condemn animal sacrifice in any form. For example, the Book of Homilies states that God does not want animals killed at all, period, and condemns those who eat meat. And there are many passages that suggest that the diet was vegan or plant-based, as there are no references to eggs, dairy, cheese, no animal products whatsoever. So technically, these folks were not only vegetarian, but vegan. Peter said, "I live on olives and bread, to which I rarely only add vegetables," unquote, a passage from the Clementine Homilies. In fact, it turns up in two places in the Clementine Homilies. Happiness is found in the practice of virtue, according to the apostle. Accordingly, the apostle Matthew partook of seeds and nuts, hard-shelled fruits and vegetables without flesh. A passage from Clement of Alexandria from The Instructor, Book 2, Chapter 1. From the early church history of Eusebius, "John never ate meat," unquote. Now, I'm not sure which John they're referring to here. John the Baptist? Probably that's true. John the Revelator? Don't know. The Book of Revelation is against the eating of meat that had been used in ritual sacrifice. That much is clear from John the Revelator. John who wrote the Gospel of John or Letters of John? Don't know which John, but it is interesting. Whichever John is being referred to, he was a vegetarian. James, the brother of the Lord, lived on seeds and plants and touched neither meat nor wine. Also in the early church history, of Eusebius, James the brother of the Lord, was holy from his mother's womb, and he drank no wine nor strong drink, nor did he eat flesh. Unquote. And James becomes the successor of Christ and next leader of this Jesus movement, this Christianity before Paul, originally based in Jerusalem, this Aramaic-speaking group, including the family of Jesus. The Gospel of Thomas, saying 12, the disciples said to Jesus, "We are aware that you will depart from us. Who will be our leader?" Jesus said to them, "No matter where you are, it is to James the Just that you shall go, for whose sake heaven and earth came into being." Unquote. Though never seeing eye to eye with the original Jerusalem community on many things, including the issue of meat eating, in his epistles, even Paul, the rogue apostle, confirms this leadership role of James the Just, the Lord's brother, quote-unquote, in Jerusalem, and he himself went to visit him to seek his blessing on a few occasions. Interfaith love. The following passage is from the Recognitions of Clement. This Ebionite Christian vegetarian author has very nice things to say about those in India who worship one God, follow peaceful customs and laws, and are vegetarian or vegan. Imagine, clearly he sees parallels between his own religion and that of his brothers and sisters in the Indian countries, quote unquote. This is one of those amazing passages, one of the most amazing passages I know of in the extra-canonical scriptures, someone else's scripture, the Ebionite Christians in this case. It's a rare example of one religion, Ebionite or Hebrew Christianity, recognizing truth in another religion, Hinduism, a rare interfaith moment in human history, a rare moment of peace and tranquility. Enjoy it while you can. Quote, "There are likewise amongst the Bactrians in the Indian countries immense multitudes of Brahmins, who also themselves, from the tradition of their ancestors and peaceful customs and laws, neither commit murder nor adultery, nor worship idols, nor have the practice of eating animal food, are never drunk, never do anything maliciously, but always revere God." Unquote. From the Recognitions of Clement, Book 9, Chapter 22, from a volume of the Anti-Nicene Fathers, a 13-volume set of early Christian writings, church fathers recognized by Catholics, Protestants, and Orthodox. And one of the volumes of this set, called the Anti-Nicene Fathers, includes apocryphal writings, other people's scriptures, scriptures of various groups in antiquity, including this original 2nd century kind of Hebrew Book of Acts, or Ebionite Gospel, known as the Clementine Homilies, which advocates that their religion was vegetarian. To receive links to my articles with total footnotes and documentation on all of these quotes and many other passages besides, send me an email or text message. Send me an email at this address, james@spiritualawakeningradio.com, james@spiritualawakeningradio.com, or send me a text message at this number, 508-603-9381, 508-603-9381. Ask for my articles on the vegetarianism of Jesus, early Christianity, the Essenes, Gnostics. I cover a lot of ground in these articles. Visit my website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. There you'll find a donate button. You'll see links to blogs, various articles, links to daily spiritual quotes at social media sites like Tumblr, Twitter, and Facebook, links to podcasts on demand. That and more at the website, spiritualawakeningradio.com. Hope you've enjoyed my updated program on the vegetarian diet of Jesus, early Christianity, and others in antiquity in the Western world. Thanks for listening.
This is Jack Maher from the band Feed the Kitty. It's important to support the artists you love, and you can do that and get something authentic for yourself. Rock.com has the most coveted licensed merchandise of music, culture, and entertainment. So go to the advertiser page and click on Rock.com now.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. And then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
If you're like the 8 out of 10 women that say finding jeans that fit is a problem, well, your problem is solved. Lee Jeans has done extensive research, and they have jeans that fit. There's even an online Lee Fit Finder so you can find the right fit for you. Imagine jeans that instantly slim you with a custom fit and no gap waistband. And guys, kids, Lee has jeans for you too. Click through to Lee's Jeans on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and get what fits.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is noon Pacific Time. Also on Sundays at noon Eastern, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Time. At HealthyLife.net, click on the Archive tab, scroll down, and you'll discover that there are many editions of Spiritual Awakening Radio there that you can click on and listen to anytime on demand. There are also podcasts of the program available through HealthyLife.net. Visit my website, SpiritualAwakeningRadio.com. From there, you can send me an email if you like. And at Facebook, the address is Facebook.com/SpiritualAwakeningRadio. Where you'll find links to recently archived programs, spiritual quotes, and news about upcoming shows. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean.